Wednesday, mostly sunny skies and a high of 82. Right now, with some showers and mild storms in the area, we have a temperature reading of 70. For WGTD News, I'm David Cole. The Morning Show with Greg Berg is coming up.
To the Morning Show on WGTD HD. I'm Gregory Berg, and it's always great to be sitting across the table from Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, who visits the program on the monthly basis, and it's always interesting to talk about matters typically related very specifically to Gateway and what happens here. Today's topic is actually kind of an interesting one in that it certainly intersects with Gateway in a really important way, but is a topic that's very much important even beyond the walls of this institution, namely the health of our heart, of one's own heart. And so we're going to be talking about heart health today, and we'll have several guests that we will introduce in just a couple of minutes. But first, Brian Albrecht, we welcome you back to the Morning Show.
Thank you, Greg. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Having a busy summer, of course.
It's going way too fast, I'm sure, like yours, but certainly enjoying it and always excited to see all the students on campus. And, you know, as we kind of roll through the summer here, we're starting to gear up already for fall term.
Amazing. And of course, you need money to pay the bills, to educate all those students coming through the door. And I know among the streams of revenue are certain grants that are very, very crucial. And I know a couple of important training grants have just been secured that can make a difference.
Yeah, it certainly does. You know, anything we can do to help support our students in keeping college more affordable and working with our local employers to develop those partnerships to sustain incumbent worker training programs. And recently, the state of Wisconsin announced the new Workforce Advancement Training grant winners, if you will, and I was so proud that Gateway received 10 of those grants totaling over $320,000. And that's all training that's going to happen at local employers to help upskill their workforce to make sure that they maintain that competitive edge and that our our students there are getting the skills that are going to not only help the employer but continue their career paths and continued success. Also very active in developing fast forward proposals, another funding source that is led through the state and in partnership with the county of Racine and the city of Racine. We received a $1.5 million investment, grant investment in the area to help build out trades in construction and manufacturing and provide greater pathways of opportunity. So those additional resources are just the beginning of what we think will be a long-standing effort by our college and our community, greater community, to bring new dollars, federal, state dollars, into our region to help support an ongoing workforce. So great shout out to our entire grant management team and the work that's going on over at the Business Workforce Solutions division, because they're very aggressive right now in helping bring new resources to the community.
Fantastic. I know that you wanted to give an update to something that puts Gateway education within the reach of people who might not otherwise be able to enjoy that, something called the Gateway Promise.
It's, you know, we started this 2 years ago, and it's so important because we talk about affordability with grants and helping provide funding for employers and incumbent workers, but there's a lot of families and young people that just don't even consider going on to post-secondary education, primarily because of the cost, or maybe there are other issues that, you know, the experience is one first-generation college student makes it difficult to make that first step. And so our community came together in 2017 to really help build out the Gateway Promise program. And last year was our first cohort. 180 students participated and very successful. In fact, several of them graduated already with a one-year certificate, so they're in the workforce. just doing amazing things. And this week, actually, we've hosted the new cohort of Gateway Promise students, another 188 students from throughout the three counties. And they're going through what's called the Summer Bridge Program. They're getting experience on campus, getting to meet some people and develop some of those basic study skills, those habits that sometimes we forget over the summer, to prepare themselves for the fall term. And the way the Promise Program works is that if a student meets the minimum qualifications while they're in high school, including committing to a community service and engaging in good practices here at the college, then if they apply for federal financial aid, whatever they're eligible for in financial aid, the difference between that dollar amount and the cost of their tuition will be paid for by our college foundation. Mm-hmm. So just very generous community members have donated and put together an endowment, and we're able to support now well over 350 students that are participating in the Promise Program, and it grows every year. And those are investments that will pay dividends for decades and throughout the lifetime of an individual while they're in the workforce. So we welcome all our Promise students. Wish you the best of luck. I look forward to seeing you on campus this fall.
Fantastic. Before we get to today's topic, I know you also want to talk for a moment about something that involves technical colleges and universities working together. And, of course, Gateway is all about cooperation, not only with business partners, but also with other educational institutions here and elsewhere. So tell our listeners about the Higher Education Regional Alliance.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it's fairly new, although we would have thought it would have been going on forever, right? So we formed a consortium between all 23 institutions of higher education from Milwaukee all the way to Kenosha. So it's UW-Milwaukee, Marquette, Carthage, Parkside, Cardinal Stritch, Mount Mary, all of the universities and colleges that are offering programming in Southeast Wisconsin have joined together to help build stronger pathways of success for students. So we have great transfer programs. In fact, over 6,000 high school kids took Gateway College courses this last year. That's a lot of young people.
Wow.
They come to Gateway, get their 2 years, and we've built articulation pathways, and very strong articulation pathways in healthcare and manufacturing and engineering. But we can always do better. So now all the colleges meet regularly once a month to talk about pathway alignment and how we can build a stronger economy for Southeast Wisconsin. This idea was driven primarily by Foxconn's investment in Southeast Wisconsin and how do we prepare for higher skilled careers and the talent shortage and all the things that we hear about a lot that are some of our basic needs. And we believe and we know that higher education plays an important role in helping to address those issues. So the HERA, the Higher Education Regional Alliance, is really committed to strengthening the higher education opportunities and building a talent pipeline that's going to not only support today's workers, but workers going forward in the future.
Fantastic. Well, we're certainly going to be watching that with great interest.
Yeah,
to see
me too. I'm excited about it, and just thanks to Chancellor Ford and, you know, President Swallow over at Carthage, and he and all three of us meet pretty regularly to talk about how we can do our part for, you know, for Kenosha and Racine, but now this helps extend it all the way through Milwaukee and other regions.
Makes all the sense in the world. Great to hear about that. So tell our listeners why you've chosen today's topic.
You know, every month I have the opportunity to bring a new idea to our community to talk about the importance of the role that maybe Gateway plays in supporting a stronger community. And last year, I had a unique experience to participate in the Heart Association's Heart Walk, and was very fortunate to serve on the advisory board to help provide some input and leadership and guidance. And we had a team from Gateway that participated, and it was really a great experience for me. But parallel to that, the reason that that even interested me was because my father-in-law had open-heart surgery. And it caused me to stop for a moment and just reflect about the importance of heart health and what I saw in that process of the technology and the recovery and all of the support systems that are necessary. And it's really, it's not one person's illness, right? It affects your entire family, your entire community.
And of course.
So today we're going to talk about some new opportunities with the Heart Association and what we're doing here at Gateway Technical College in our nursing programs and really help build greater awareness for our community and hope that others will participate in a heart walk as well.
Fantastic. So we have three guests that are joining us today. We have Vicki Hulbeck, who is Dean of Nursing here at Gateway Technical College. We also have Stacy Amstead, who is Director of Communications
at the
American Heart Association, and Beth Grossman, who is Corporate Director of the American Heart Association. We are really glad to have all three of you here at WGTD, and pleased that you can be part of this conversation today
Gateway. Let's start here at Gateway with Vicki Hulbeck again, Dean of the Nursing Program here at Gateway Technical College. Tell us a little bit about your background and how that background ultimately led you here to Gateway.
Sure. I'm a registered nurse. I've practiced here in the area since 1997. I do currently work as a registered nurse in one of the local hospitals, and I also have been here at Gateway for 7 years. Up until last year, I was a nursing faculty member here at Gateway, and just in July of last year, I became the Dean of Nursing.
Hmm. Was teaching something that was always of interest to you, even before you decided you wanted to become a nurse? I mean, were you always thinking of both those possibilities?
I knew that I was very interested in both of them, but my first semester of nursing school, I had a nursing instructor who was extremely helpful, and I knew from that very moment that I wanted to do what she was doing, and I wanted to be able to make a difference in more lives than just to be a nurse myself, but rather to help develop great nurses throughout our community.
Wow.
You know, Vicki's not only an exceptional teacher and nurse along with that, but what a transformational leader for our college and really helping build out what now we're so proud of, called the Inspire Center, which is really helping to transform the skill sets of nurses and let them apply those in a simulation fashion, our Human Patient Simulator Center. And she had big shoes to fill. Diane Skewes is always going to be near and dear to all of us, I'm sure. Diane retired, and Vicki really championed the effort to help us build out greater capacity for nursing, and just so proud of her leadership and really look forward to how this program is going to continue to grow at Gateway.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's fun to have it
right below us, here,
on the first floor of the Inspire Center. And it's really an amazing facility to see and just to walk through and to see all of the activity down there. So we welcome you to the morning show. It's great
to
have you here. We're happy to have, as we said, two representatives of the American Heart Association with us as well. Let's start with Beth Grossman, Corporate Director. So tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and your life's path that kind of eventually led you to the American Heart Association.
Sure. Thanks so much for having me, for having us. I'm from Greendale, and I currently live in New Berlin. I have a degree in communications, and I have a strong background in sales and marketing, as well as communications. But more importantly, what led me to this and to the American Heart Association is that I have a family history of heart disease and stroke, and even larger than that, I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to get up every day knowing that I was helping to make a difference with my skill set, and I wanted to be a part of something much bigger than myself. So I'm thrilled to finally be able to do that and to be able to be a part of the American Heart Association.
Hmm. And because heart disease is, in a sense, a very personal issue for you,
yes,
it's something that's touched your family's life, so
yes,
this makes all the sense in the world for this to be where you forward your focus, your energies.
Exactly. We at the American Heart Association, we call it our whys. Unfortunately, far too many people have their own personal whys as to the reason that they're a part of the American Heart Association, why they support it in the fashion that they do, and our goal is to make less whys out there.
Very good. Stacy Amstead is also with us from the American Heart Association, Director of Communications. Tell us a little bit about where you're from and your background and what ultimately drew you to the American Heart Association.
So I grew up in Hales Corners, and I currently live in Wauwatosa. And I went to college at the University of Minnesota. And I had multiple internships. I'm a little bit younger, so I haven't had a lot of professional experience yet, but I was originally our communications coordinator and just recently was promoted to communications director, and I absolutely love working for this organization. I have a personal connection as well. I actually have wanted to work for the American Heart Association since I was in high school. So this is really, truly a dream come true for me. I was born with a congenital heart defect and called aortic stenosis, and I had open heart surgery when I was 17.
Mm.
And so after that surgery, I realized, you know, like, I want to work for AHA. I want to help other people who are in similar situations as myself and just help raise awareness about heart disease. And so You know, it's just always been a dream of mine, and my background is in communications and marketing, and so this job is just like the perfect fit for me. And so I'm just loving it. And previous to this, I was actually a volunteer for the American Heart Association for about 3 or 4 years. And so I'm very familiar with all the events that we help out with, volunteered at the Heart Walk and that sort of thing. So I love it.
Mm. Yeah, it's great to have you with us, Stacy. And I didn't know your background story like that. So it's always inspiring to hear people that have kind of championed a cause like this. And we hear it a lot at our Heart Association leadership table. And, you know, corporate leaders all over the city and all over the county and are talking about how they've had a personal experience, sort of that why, Beth, that you mentioned there too. And but something that our paths have crossed, I'm also a graduate of the University of Minnesota.
Oh. So go Gophers.
All right.
Very good. So, Beth Grossman and anybody else can kind of chime in on here. We want to talk specifically today about keeping one's heart healthy. And, of course, in some ways, we don't even have to ask why is this important, because I think most people, at least in the vaguest notion, even if they know very little about their own body, know that the heart is exceedingly important. Beyond the obvious, why is heart health awareness important for us?
Sure. Just to kind of put it in perspective, heart disease is the number one killer of Americans. Stroke is the fourth leading killer, which not everybody is aware of.
And that's, of course, related to the heart.
Exactly, related to the heart. And we also, a big part of the awareness and the importance of what we do is that nearly 80% of cardiac events can be prevented with education and lifestyle changes. So a huge part of what we do is the education of how people should take care of themselves so that hopefully these events don't happen.
Hmm. So what are some of the ways in which you want people to be learning? I mean, are there particular ways in which we can learn more about healthy heart awareness?
Definitely. Well, for example, attending AHA events like our Heart Walk, getting involved, learning and knowing your numbers is really the basic, you know, main thing that you can do. You need to track it. You can't ignore, you know, any potential signs such as your blood pressure, cholesterol, blood sugar, and your BMI. And then you also need to not just be taking that on your own, but talking to your doctor about your risk for heart disease and stroke. And also you can
visit our website, heart.org, which actually we just launched a new website yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Check it out. it's very, very cool. And we have a brand new logo. Everything is brand new just yesterday. Mm-hmm. So we would like everybody to check that out. And we have a social media account. Everything is AHA Wisconsin. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. So check it out. We're always sharing, you know, different tips and tricks and ways that you can stay active and eat healthy and that sort of thing. So that's always a really, really great way that you can find out more information. And everybody is on social media, so it's a great way to stay,
right.
stay
and
in
the
touch with us.
And the important letters to remember are AHA.
Yes.
AHA for American Heart Association.
Yeah, and I think it's really just about self-awareness, right?
Yes.
So if you haven't been feeling well for a couple of days, don't ignore it and say, oh, maybe it'll just go away. Or, mm-hmm. you know, if you're walking up a couple flights of stairs like we do every day here, Greg, and it's like taking a long time to recover, there's things that we should be paying attention to for all of that. So mm-hmm. a lot of that self-awareness and then not being afraid to ask and to talk to people, whether it's through the Heart Association or your local doctor or even a family member, you know, that it's you're concerned. Raising that concern can oftentimes be the right solution.
We hear that all the time with people who, you know, you need to advocate for yourself. Mm-hmm. If something doesn't feel right, listen to your body, because you're the one who knows your body best. So it's very important.
So many people wait days. They've had the symptoms for days and they've ignored it until they can't ignore it anymore, and it would have been a much better outcome if they would have went in right away.
Mm-hmm. Right. I suppose there's sometimes irreparable damage that's done if people are waiting around a little too long.
Also make sure that you know the signs and symptoms of a heart attack and of a stroke. Mm-hmm. Those are really, really important things that you want to know.
Right. We'll
and
get
those
to
are on our website as well.
Yeah, and we'll talk about those in just a moment. Vicki Hulbeck, again, Dean of the Nursing Program here at Gateway. How much is this topic talked about or covered in the nursing curriculum here?
We have a four-semester program here at Gateway, and it's covered in every semester. So we start out with first semester learning about what's normal and assessment of the cardiac system. In second semester, they learn about health promotion and wellness and how to stay heart healthy. And then they move on to third and fourth semester, where they learn about congenital anomalies, and they learn about cardiac arrest and any kind of abnormalities and critical care issues. So all the way through the nursing program, we're addressing heart health and abnormalities.
Hmm. Before we get into what we have to watch for in terms of preventing a heart attack, maybe somebody could just say a word about what the heart does. And I think it's one of those things that I think most of us have a vague notion. It has something to do with blood and pumping blood in some manner or form. But maybe someone could help us understand that a little better. Just what does the heart do? How does it function? What's happening with the heart? And then what is happening when someone has a heart attack, when that normal function goes awry for some reason?
Well, the heart is a pump, so it perfuses oxygen and circulation to all of our organs. So when our heart doesn't work right, we're also not perfusing all of our other organs, like our kidney and liver. And so when the heart's not functioning right, neither are the rest of our organs.
Wow.
So it's important for all of our organ function for our cardiac system to be healthy and functioning correctly.
Right. So you called the heart a pump. So it's as though the heart is like a machine of sorts, a living machine, but
somewhat,
important to think of it in that way. And it's pumping in terms of drawing blood into it and pumping blood out of it. So it happens in both directions.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I've also heard it said that the heart is essentially a muscle. Is most of the heart or all of the heart actually comprised of muscle
the
tissue?
The heart is a muscle. Correct.
And it works on electrical impulse.
It does work on electrical impulse.
So you can think about it as you might think in a mechanical system. So you have a water pump in your car, right? So that's what's keeping it cool. Without it, the water pump, you know, the car doesn't run anymore. So there's sensors that go that tell the heart what to do, and those can be altered in many ways. It might be altered by your diet. It might be altered by, you know, the exercise that you provide and things like that. And so that's what we're talking about when it says pay attention to your body. So there are certain parameters in which the heart is supposed to work most efficiently at.
Right. So when something like a heart attack occurs, what's happening? I mean, what's going wrong in the heart when somebody has a heart attack, and what actually is happening when there's a heart attack?
Well, there's several things. Sometimes it's a matter of heart failure where one part of the heart's not functioning correctly.
It just stops pumping or whatever.
It could be an electrical rhythm abnormality that has occurred. So it just depends on what's going on with that individual person.
Right. And so there's an array of things that can go wrong.
Correct.
From relatively minor significance to something that's really important, maybe even catastrophic.
Correct. And you can have heart failure that happens over time, where the patient's actually having symptoms way before any kind of a heart attack should happen. And sometimes our bodies compensate for a period of time, but you'll start to notice changes, like your feet swelling when you walk for a period of time, and shortness of breath at night or shortness of breath upon exertion. So there are usually signs of a heart attack coming on, pain, and pain actually is different in different people. So some people do have pain that shoots down their left arm, or they'll have chest pain. Some have jaw pain. So it can present itself in different ways. So again, if you feel like you're not feeling right or you're feeling fatigued, it's something to not ignore.
Right. So I have a question for you, Vicki. When people say you should exercise your heart, so like walking, is that because it's a muscle, you're actually trying to build up its stamina?
Correct. And walking is good exercise for everyone. Many people think that if they're not running or they're not doing something that's intensely active, that they're not exercising. But walking is actually a very healthy way to stay fit and to keep your heart healthy. Running is good for some people, but some people can't run because they have either injured joints or they're getting older or they have other health issues. But most people can walk, and just even walking every day can keep your heart in good shape.
I wanted to be sure to talk to each of you, Beth and Stacy, about the particular issues that drew you to the American Heart Association, because they point to something else that I think is important to cover. Beth, you were saying that you're part of a family that tends to have heart disease.
Yes.
So when we're talking about something called heart disease, that's of course not the same thing as a heart attack. If you have, but obviously they are kind of related situations.
Yes.
What do we typically mean when we're talking about heart disease, or at least as far as your family is concerned, what kind of heart disease are we talking about, and how is that related to some of these catastrophic events that we hear so much about?
Sure. Well, it varies, of course, in like Vicki said, in each individual. For example, we also have a history of diabetes in my family, and sometimes the diabetes has affected the heart and has been a part of some heart issues. There's also, maybe a need for a pacemaker, because that's more of a minor thing these days, of course, thank God. There's, kind of the more major where stents are needed, in one situation, like five stents were needed. So it really varies. It's hard to say kind of an overall, because each situation is so different, but it is good to point out that it does run in families, and in families that you may not assume.
Right.
That it happens in. You can be active, you can do all the right things, but there are still those factors and those risk factors. But again, it is important to point out that if you know the signs and if you're taking care of your body and you're aware, that you can prevent it from becoming catastrophic. And
right.
We've been blessed that everything has turned out okay. But so you really need to be in check with your body and your symptoms, and know what's going on and address it.
Right, and know your own family history if there's this propensity for it.
Yeah, I think as Vicki described, if every organ is dependent upon it, anything that could go wrong with any part of our body could ultimately affect the heart. So
that's it.
That's
a
key element there. And like you say, I mean, we hear about it all the time, right? Professional athletes have heart attacks. There's all kinds of different scenarios that play out where you're surprised. You're going like, oh, they were so young, or
healthier,
or, right.
in shape, or but it. Unfortunately, it's so much more than that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you just really need to
play
more.
A big role.
Yeah.
Bob Harper, people probably think of him as being one of the healthiest people on the planet, but he had a heart attack, and very significant heart attack. But he,
mm-hmm.
He was the fitness on the television show, The Fitness.
He was
in
the Biggest Loser.
Right.
Biggest Loser weight loss program.
But
right.
But he had he had family history of heart attacks, and so it, even though he was very in shape and that sort of thing, it's still your family history plays a really big role. So that's something that you really want to make sure that you pay attention to when you're thinking about your risk for heart disease.
Right. So, so one component of this awareness is making people aware that even people you would never think of as being susceptible might in fact be. So nobody should be making blithe assumptions.
Absolutely nobody is fully immune, right?
Right.
And I think it's important to note the stroke area as well, and being aware of those signs and symptoms. We get out the information about that as well. They're tied directly, and we really do promote that awareness as well.
Right. Stacy Amstett, you have been touched by this in a very direct way, because I think you said of a congenital heart defect that required surgery when you were 17. Can you just tell us a little more, if you don't mind, about exactly what that was in your heart? What was the situation, and what had to be done for you at the age of 17 to rectify the situation?
Yeah. So as I said, I was born with aortic stenosis. I also have a bicuspid aortic valve, but aortic stenosis just means that there's a narrowing of your aortic valve. And so when I had the surgery, they were trying to open up that passage. And so I underwent a valvotomy. And so now I'm doing well. I see my cardiologist every year, but in the future I will need to have my valve replaced. There's leakage in the valve, and so that is something that I'm looking to happen to me in the next couple of years. And my dad actually has the same condition.
And does it mean that the valve is smaller than it's supposed to be, or that there's something about it where it doesn't function as well as we want?
Yeah, it was like, I mean, the blood comes through it, and so the passage that it goes through, it was like narrowing, and so that's, they opened it up. So
I see, becoming even,
it's
because it's becoming even more narrow, and if it had blocked altogether, then something really serious might have happened.
Yes.
Well, with the narrowing of that valve, what happens is the heart has to work harder to push blood through.
Yeah.
And so that chamber of the heart ends up building up and becoming enlarged. So it really can actually end up leading to a heart attack. So paying attention to that and having it repaired early is the best idea.
That underscores the fact that bigger isn't better. I mean, like when President Albrecht was, Albrecht was asking, you know, do you want to build up your heart the same way you want to build up your biceps? And the answer is no. I mean, you want your heart to be healthy, but you don't want your heart to be bigger.
We want all of the valves working correctly and all chambers of the heart being exercised well, but not one of them having to work extra hard to perfuse the rest. So that's correct. One bigger chamber is not necessarily better. No.
Right.
But like I said, so my dad has the same condition as me. And so they looked for it like immediately when I actually have a twin sister, and they looked for it in both of us when we were born. She does not have that condition, but I do. Unlucky. and so, you know, like I said, they've been watching me since I was born. And, It's a really great thing, actually. I'll just have to throw this in here, that the American Heart Association, we worked really hard on passing a bill a couple of years ago that now every baby that's born undergoes a pulse oximetry screening that looks for severe heart congenital heart defects in babies. So they undergo that screening, and so it's saved a lot of lives.
Wow,
that's great.
Sometimes, you know, doctors didn't catch that right away, and so that's one thing that we do really we work on at the AHA is passing bills that will ultimately save lives.
I just want to relate this back to the training programs that are available at Gateway in the nursing program. And so one of the tools that Vicki has with her instructors and shares with her students is you can actually digitize the heart, and you can look at all of those chambers from many different levels, and you can see different scans of healthy hearts and non-healthy hearts, and it really helps to create a greater visual awareness for students. So it's not like you have to just try to guess what's going on. You can actually see it.
Correct. And we do, at all of our local hospitals, you're correct, we do cardiac screenings at 24 hours of age on every newborn. So, and what we're looking for is not just that the blood pressure is adequate in all four extremities, but also that the pulse oximeter is done on all on a upper extremity and a lower, because we know, again, with that heart being a muscle and it's perfusing, we expect those lower extremities to also be perfusing as well as the upper. And we know if the heart's not working correctly, we're not perfusing and oxygenating those lower extremities, and it becomes a red flag. So that we can do an echocardiogram and look closer and see that that baby has a cardiac issue. One thing is that babies go home, the earliest they can go home is 24 hours of age, because they can't go home until we do that cardiac screen. But babies do generally go home between 24 and 48 hours old if they're delivered vaginally. We know that most babies who have issues will have issues right around 36 hours old.
Interesting.
Right. So knowing that they're going home and they're perfusing and oxygenating the way they do, it actually has decreased the number of cardiac deaths in newborns during that initial 1 week time period. So great tool. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Right. And so, and the American Heart Association played a major role in making that happen, evidently.
Fantastic.
By the way, with your situation, Stacy, did you have to up until the surgery have to limit your activity, for instance? I mean, in what way did this situation affect your life and what you were capable of doing?
when I was growing up, I played sports my whole life, and it didn't affect me until I was in high school. So I like loved sports. It was like my life. And my sophomore year, my doctor told me, you can't play soccer anymore. And I was like, okay, that's all right. And then the next year he said, no more competitive sports anymore. Like, I was playing volleyball, and so I couldn't do any more volleyball. And that was like a big blow for me. I was
devastated. And it's because the situation was getting worse?
Yeah, he didn't exactly say that. So I just, you know, was kind of thrown off. Mm-hmm. And then a year later was when he told me that I needed surgery.
Wow.
And now you can again.
Yeah, and I mean, I played volleyball after my surgery, like within 2 months, I actually practiced with the varsity volleyball team that year. I didn't play on the team, I just practiced with them. But so yeah, I still play to this day, and I love it. So
it was about 10 to 12 years ago that we started requiring kids to have physicals and to ensure cardiac health to play sports. Was that what happened with you? Did they do an EKG because you had a heart murmur? Or?
No. I mean, I had known that I had the condition like my whole life. So he just, you know, was noticing that. He didn't really say that my echo was like not looking great, but that was apparently
What you're saying is even somebody without this specific situation, in order now to play organized competitive sports in the school system, has to undergo a screening of this.
They do. They do a physical, and if there's a heart murmur or anything abnormal, they do an EKG, because we did have kids who were born with congenital heart defects that go unrecognized until they're in high school, mm-hmm. and those are the kids who suffer sudden cardiac death on the football field.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's so tragic and such a shock for everybody mm-hmm. concerned. So
we just had he was actually he spoke at our Milwaukee Heart Walk last year. He had a cardiac arrest at West Dallas Central, but he was from Wanakee, and luckily there was a trainer there who knew very great CPR, and they got the ED really quick, and he had full recovery, and but he had an underlying heart condition that he had a cardiomyopathy.
Wow. Well, it's good that some of these changes have been made, and it's thanks to the American Heart Association in large measure. Beth Grossman, tell us more about the organization, about how it's put together. And, of course, it's a national organization.
Yes.
Tell us more about who and what comprises the American Heart Association.
Sure. I mean, even though we're a national organization, we still have a large local presence, especially as in the Racine, Kenosha area. We have employees working across the state in every market to assist the organization in raising all of the crucial life-saving dollars for things such as what we were just talking about. And we really all have the same mission, which is saving lives. And that's the bottom line. So we are a national organization because this is needed everywhere. But we do really break out into the individual communities, and we focus on communities where it's really needed even more, because there are certain communities that do need the awareness more and the education, and do have a higher death rate.
Hmm. So this is not a particularly monolithic organization. For instance,
correct,
different states are organized differently, and different communities there might be more or less.
Correct. I mean, the overall, the mission is the same, and the overall structure is the same, but we do most definitely tweak it to what makes sense for our individual communities.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have different goals in mind in different communities.
So how long has it been around, and how long has it been active in Southeast Wisconsin?
I don't know how long we've been in Wisconsin. I do know that AHA was founded in 1924.
So a long time.
So it's been around for a long
time.
But yeah. I wish I knew when we started in Wisconsin.
Now I have to look that up.
Yeah, we're going to have to look that up.
So tell us about this big event that is coming up next week, the Heart Walk. Where is that going to be, and what is that all about?
Yes, so we're very, very excited. The Heart Walk is going to be Saturday, September 8th. Mark your calendars if you haven't already. It's going to be at UW Parkside from 9 a.m. until 12 p.m., and there is truly going to be something for everyone. It's going to be a huge family and pet-friendly event, lots of fun. And the Heart Walk Village opens right at 9. The Heart Walk kicks off at 10 a.m. There's going to be 1 and 3 mile options. So you can go just kind of leisurely for fun. You can go hardcore and do the whole thing.
And there's great educational boost there, too. So you can learn everything we've talked about. You can learn more about.
Yes. Right? So there's the walk, but there's so much more than that. There's going to be CPR demos, and there's going to be a photo area so that you can take pictures of this momentous event.
Spread the word on social media, and then other people may ask you about it, and then you can share.
Please do. There's going to be a survivor tent. So we definitely work hard to recognize those that have been in a situation and have survived. We also do our due diligence to have a memorial area for those that that were left behind. As far as the fun, we have music. We have a kids zone area. There's going to be a balloon artist and face painting and temporary tattoos and lots of fun stuff for the kids. We love kids. And also a pet zone area because we love pets and they all have hearts too. So bring your pets. Bring dogs on leashes. Bring cats in strollers. Bring iguanas, snakes. We've seen it all. And they're all welcome. And there's going to be heart-healthy snacks, you name it. So it's a really, really fun event where you can enjoy yourself and learn at the same time.
So it's not a competitive event.
Although it could be if you want.
People can form teams and be a little competitive between each other.
Yes, so
right?
Competitive
please
to raise money.
Right. Yes, right. It's all for a good cause, but we encourage competitiveness if you'd like.
Yeah, so we're competing with UW Parkside and Badger Meter. Those are the two that I want to beat this year.
Yes, so there is that friendly competition for sure.
Doesn't sound too friendly to me, but whatever. Stacy, can you explain how the money gets raised? I mean, where does the money come from? I mean, how is this a fundraiser?
So are you asking, like, where the money ultimately goes?
No. First I'm asking, how does it raise money?
Oh,
what
okay
is the mechanism by which it raises money?
So we do have a website, and everybody, you register for the event on there. It is free.
It's free.
I mean, it's a free event, so you don't have to pay to register. But you can go to Racine-Kenosha-HeartWalk.com. .org. That's where you sign up, and that's where you share that link with, once you have your team, then you share that link with your friends and your family, and you ask for donations on there. We also have sponsors of the event.
Yes.
That's another way that we raise money, and it all goes 80% of it goes locally back to our organization. And,
yes, stays right here in the community.
To the good things that you are doing.
Yes, yes, like our advocacy efforts. And
education directly in this area.
Mm-hmm. And then we also have, initiatives that are in our hospitals and with our EMTs to ensure that there's quality care when you're in a cardiac emergency and that sort of thing. So there's a lot of great initiatives and community work that we do.
Very good. So, Vicki Helbeck, have you been a participant in the Heart Walk before? And if so, why?
I have been a participant. I participated last year with my dog, Dexter. We got our picture taken with a giant heart.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was kind of scary for Dexter, but he did okay.
Is Dexter coming back?
He is coming back.
Good.
He
so
will
he
be
liked
participating.
It?
So what makes it special to me is I do have a personal family history of heart disease, high cholesterol, and stroke. But last year I decided to participate specifically because my grandmother about 3 years ago had suffered from some a little bit of heart issues where she was in heart failure. And with some modification to her diet, weight loss, and increase in her activity, she now has completely gone off of her diabetic medication.
Wow.
And is just feeling so much better. So it really motivated me to become more involved. I also have a grandfather who passed away in 1993 from a heart attack. So I definitely have a family history. And like Beth was saying, high cholesterol, it's genetic. So I'm really fortunate mm-hmm. right now to not have high cholesterol, but I'd like to keep it that way. So anything I can do to decrease the modifiable risk factors, I'm going to do that now.
Sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, so Absolutely. The Heart Walk is just a fun event for the community to raise greater awareness and raise revenue to help support this advocacy role, but also, you know, a couple hours of reflection on individuals, on those that have impacted your life in many ways, and you can kind of pay a special, have a special moment in memory or hopefully in tribute to continuing their healthy living. And it really helps to draw the community together around this common cause. And you'll be amazed at the people that come out for it and bring their pets. That's always fun. But it's a good way to convene around this common issue and see if we can't find ways to strengthen either the education programs through our schools and in our community, or link people to other resources so they can get the support that they need.
Right.
And it's just a good way for everybody to get out and get active, and us to encourage everybody to keep that up, because like she was saying, walking is one of the easiest ways to keep your heart healthy, and we want to encourage everybody, like, hey, look at how easy this is, look at how fun it is.
Yes.
Just go on a walk with your family every day.
And we really do have the kids focus and the family focus, because it's important to teach kids early, and there is such an issue with childhood obesity and unawareness. So we want to start young.
You know, I was looking actually recently at the statistics, and in the state of Wisconsin, our kids under the age of 17 are the sixth lowest on the amount of activity they have per day.
Oh my gosh.
Sixth lowest in the United States.
Wow.
But I do want to say that my Student Nurses Association has already created their team. It's called the Heartthrobs.
Oh, I love that name.
Yep. It's our Student Nurses Association officers, Jessica Van Ness, AJ Kuchas, and Aaron White. And they've already registered their team for the Heart Walk on September 8th. So if anyone would like to join them, I think they're going to join into Brian's competition there.
Ooh, yeah. Love it.
I'm joining their team. I'm going with the winners.
Good idea. Very
and
good.
If something happens, they know CPR.
Right, exactly. Always good to work. Always good to walk with nurses.
Right.
We actually require American Heart Association CPR for all of our nursing students here at Gateway.
Oh,
so
wow.
No other type of CPR is acceptable. It has to be AHA.
Wow.
The best. Nothing but the best.
Stacey,
I'm afraid we're out of time, but if people want to find out more about the organization and or other events on the calendar sponsored by the American Heart Association, what is the address again of your website?
So right now, since we are in a transition, I would just go to heart.org and search for Milwaukee, since our website isn't totally done yet.
Right.
And then they can also find us on social media at AHA Wisconsin.
AHA Wisconsin.
Yes.
Very good. Well, what an important and also interesting and fun conversation this has been. Vicki Hulbeck from right here at Gateway, Dean of the Nursing Program. Beth Grossman, Corporate Director of the American Heart Association. Stacey Armstead, Director of Communications at the American Heart Association. We're so glad that all three of you could be here, and we hope a lot of people will come out and support your upcoming Heart Walk. What an important event that is. And thank you for helping to spread the word. It was great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Albeck, the president of Gateway Technical College, great to have you here as well. Good luck at the Heart Walk.
Thank you very much.
I'm Greg Reberg. Tomorrow on The Morning Show, Nan Calvert pays her monthly visit to the program. She, of course, joins us once a month with a program related to the environment. On tomorrow's program, we speak with a gentleman from Sheboygan who has a very interesting business called Plant Services Incorporated, and also has started up a new nonprofit called Arboreum, which seeks to create edible landscapes within urban environments. It's an interesting concept, and we will be talking about that tomorrow on The Morning Show. On Wednesday, you'll hear several different conversations which I was able to record at Carthage on the last day of an extraordinary two-week event which occurred there under the auspices of the National Endowment of the Humanities. It was the Institute for Women's Suffrage in the Americas, and it gathered together scholars from all around the Western Hemisphere, studying the way in which women's suffrage emerged in all of the various countries of North and South America, and the struggles that continue to this very day for women to have a meaningful role in the political life of their respective countries. I speak with Carthage's own Dr. Stephanie Mitchell, one of the co-creators of the Institute, and with several different women who were participants and or presenters. On Thursday, we'll talk politics with Bill Schneider, formerly of CNN, and the author of a new book called Standoff, How America Has Become Ungovernable. And on Friday, we'll very specifically look at some of the chief political races here in Wisconsin with Emily